It is week two of the year 2021, and you're listening to Father Roderick to the Max. Welcome back to another episode of my weekly show, recorded for you, my patron supporter. Thank you so much for everything you do and for enabling me to do this work. We have some new patrons to welcome, and I'm going to mention those that have enlisted in the month of December and January. So on December the 1st, Mary joined us. And then a day later, we got Janet, who became part of the community. Derek joined us on December the 6th, so on the feast day of St. Nicholas. And Larry joined on December 20th, but he wasn't the only one joining us today. That day. Bjorn also became a supporter that day. Jason joined us on Christmas Eve, December 24th. And Sean on Christmas Day itself. So that is wonderful. We have like a Christmas gift or a Christmas guest. Then on the second day of January, Pedro joined us. And on the 5th of January, Anne also became a monthly supporter. And then Anna, I should say, I think she's from the Netherlands, she joined us on January 11th. And on that same day, also Gabriel paid us a visit and became a member of the community. So for those of you that have just joined the community, and this may be one of the first podcasts of Father Roderick to the Max that you're listening to, thank you so much. And if I didn't mention your name in this episode, rest assured that I still value you incredibly. And I'm also always excited to see your posts in the Discord community. For those of you that still haven't figured out how to get on Discord, and you need some help, just send me a message and we'll help you get on Discord, because that's where the community kind of hangs out. And I also, if I have time, sometimes drop in, answer some questions or post some announcements and let you know what's going on behind the scenes. All right, let's get on with the show.
Just look at the x-rays. You see that dark spot there? Whiplash.
Whiplash? Oh no.
And this smudge here that looks like my fingerprint? No, that's trauma.
I miss that show. Well, the sound bites you heard are from an episode of The Simpsons, of course, with the one of the doctors. None of the doctors that work in the town of The Simpsons seem to be qualified for what they do. But the music in the background is from ER, which was my favorite sitcom weekly show that I followed religiously every episode. This was one of the first TV series that I watched from beginning to end, and I couldn't get enough of it. And I'm still sad that none of these streaming platforms have it. I used to have all the DVD boxes, but then when I started to declutter, I mean, that was literally like a meter of DVDs, all these different cases. And then, of course, the DVD itself doesn't carry much data, so you only had like two or three episodes per disc. I sold them. I brought them to a secondhand store and was paid almost nothing for them compared to how much I spend on those DVDs. But I was just hoping, or actually I was pretty sure that, you know, the series would end up on Netflix or on Amazon Prime, but none of that happened. So I'm still hoping that we will get to see that on one of those streaming platforms. It's one of the series that I would absolutely rewatch when it became available again. But this jingle, of course, introduces the health segment. So I want to give you a quick update on my recovery. It's going well. It's really going in the right direction. I've had a lot of benefits, or I benefited tremendously from working with a daily and weekly schedule. So based on the advice of my occupational therapist, I made a new planning in my calendar for the entire week. So every day has blocks where I work or I pray or I rest. And I try to maintain that, to be as faithful as possible to that schedule. Now, the only thing that derailed me last week was that I had planned on working on Monday and Tuesday on a TV episode, but then on Monday evening we had a board meeting, and that was the first time we had a board meeting since the beginning of December, I think. So these are of course important, but what I didn't realize was that how much energy it takes to be in a meeting, not in real life, but via, what were we using? I think Teams or Microsoft Teams. And to have like 2.5 hours of like this online conversation. I'm sure I'm not the only one, but these online meetings cost me much more energy than meetings in real life. But plus, we're talking about, you know, the next year, and there are a lot of what we do at Tridio, of course, revolves around my work. So I constantly feel a certain pressure to deliver and to give an update. Here's what I've done. This is what I'm going to do. This is my planning. So it's another moment where I have to, or at least I feel the pressure of having to show results. And afterwards, after the meeting, there's just so much in my head because of all the things that are going on. The most stress-inducing topic, of course, is the tense negotiations with the people that are in charge of the parish. I have the feeling that they want me out of this rectory. They want to rent it out to other people and make more money than they make on me, which of course would be a major change for me, and not just a change. It would be a real hassle because then I have to move. I don't know where to go. So that is, and it's unresolved. They don't seem to be very forthcoming in trying to find a solution. So that bothers me a lot, also kind of mentally or psychologically, because it feels like, well, you know, everything was seemed to be okay as long as I was working for them, and then the moment my bishop gives me another appointment, it's like, okay, now we want to get rid of you as soon as possible. That feels, maybe it's not meant to their intention may not be like that, but that's how it feels to me. I feel like, okay, so all of a sudden, like I'm a nuisance. You want to get rid of me as soon as possible. I don't like that pressure. I don't like that situation, and it's still unresolved. So that meeting kind of stirred up a lot of unrest. So I couldn't sleep, and the next day I couldn't do anything. I was so distracted. I couldn't focus. I had no energy. Also, I did not sleep very well that night. And so this is maybe different from before. I decided to just not even try to work that day. But then the deadline was Wednesday evening. The show had to be, and normally on Wednesday, that's my day off. That's where I try to not work, so I can recover a little bit. But then on Wednesday, I had to work super hard to finish that China documentary, which was also more difficult than I expected. Because it's like old material. None of it was filmed with the intention of creating a television show. This was made like 8 years ago. So I had no experience in editing. Back then I was just a presenter of the show. So I would do the announcement and other people would create the items on TV. So now that I'm making TV myself, I have to find all sorts of solutions to patch together loose footage and create a story. So it requires actually much more effort than like a standard television episode. So on Thursday morning, I woke up at, I think, 5:45 in the morning, and then just had to really sprint to get that thing uploaded before 9:00 in the morning. And that's when they start doing the final edit, the final cut. In Hilversum, the town where the broadcast organization is based. So, yeah, that was not a good experience. However, I was relatively okay afterwards. I was not completely broken and even you know, yesterday I had a very productive day. I don't recall what I did Thursday. Not much. I just basically slept. But and that's how I see that I'm making progress. I recover way more quickly than a few weeks ago. Also physically, I'm doing much better. Like I mentioned last week, I did my first run since I got infected with COVID in September, and that went well. I did I think 5 miles, so about 8 kilometers of running last week, last Saturday. This morning, I went out for a run, and I wasn't really focusing that much on, you know, distance. I didn't really tell myself I need to run the same amount of kilometers or miles. I just started running at a very, very slow pace, or at least compared to how I used to run. Wanted to keep my heartbeat around 150 beats per minute, which is, you know, it's about 80%, I think, of my total, you know, my highest heart rate. While I was running, I didn't even take my phone with me, so I had no GPS data or anything. I was just counting my steps and looking at my heartbeat. And in the meantime, I was just thinking about today, about the homily of tomorrow, thinking through some of the projects that I'm working on. And when I arrived back, I noticed that I had run a 10K. And I didn't stop at all. I wasn't tired. I felt good. It felt just like the old days. Of course, I did not run at a very impressive pace. But still, I was running for about an hour, maybe even more. And I didn't really break a sweat. So that is super encouraging. And it makes me really hopeful that I'm looking at the light at the end of the tunnel. So I think I'm a bit distracted by the chat room because Zina is wondering how she gets on the Discord server. I'll let you know when I'm done recording the show. Ingham can send you a link to a tutorial. It's very simple. Just if you are a patron, you have access to the server. You just have to install it, but you get automatically added to the community, so you can log in. Anyway, there's a short tutorial. Maybe even if you look on the Patreon website, they may have information on how to join the Discord server that is linked to your patronage. But I'll ask Inge also to send you a link. It's very simple, by the way. Sorry about that. I was really encouraged by the results of these past 2 weeks. I'm going to try to do a little bit of work when I'm done recording this, so to do a bit of preparation for the China documentary so that I don't get into that same position I was in earlier this week, where because there can always be something unexpected that will cause me to not be able to work, and so I don't want to work against those deadlines. That is one of my big wishes for this new year. And it may involve actually drastic steps of stopping the TV work in the form that I'm currently doing it. Just what I want to do is to work at my own pace and to create documentaries for the world to see and for you as patrons. So I would love it if this year I could bring you a couple of these documentaries in English, but not with that deadline, and it's not just the deadline of, before the final cut, but it's like 3 weeks in advance. I already have to tell them what the topic is. I have to provide them with footage. And usually I work at the very last moment. Sometimes I don't even have material. I still have to go and film. They need the information for the paper guides that they still sell. So where you have every broadcasting company has their own membership magazine, and of course since that's print media and super old fashioned, they want to write their stuff like weeks in advance. I'm always struggling with that kind of work. I'm much more of I love about social media and what about podcasting is if I have something to say, I just launch a stream and I start talking to a microphone, and a minute later it's at the other side of the world. And when something is ready and I feel good about it, then I want to present it to the world, not because there's a deadline. Now, I know that in many other areas of work, people also have to work against deadlines, and there's also, you know, you need to deliver. But I'm in a position where I can change that. I can choose to work in a different way, and that may impact, at least temporarily, my income. But the income should enable me to do the work that I love to do and to share it with the people I want to share it with. And right now I feel like I'm on a train that I don't want to be on anymore. I've done this for 11 years now, and I've learned a lot. I've without this work, I don't think I would ever have come so this far, but I feel it's time for something new. And this year, now that we're kind of hopefully approaching the end of the corona crisis, and hopefully in the you know, around June, July, it will be able to travel again. That's where I want to have my hands free to go and make the kind of documentaries that I want to make, focused on the things that I'm interested in, and not just always thinking about, well, but you've got all these old people watching the TV show. And that is true. We know that from the demographics, because everything is measured. And I know that the general age of the people that watch my documentaries is 70 plus, sometimes even older than that. Two-thirds is women, and one-third is men. There are no kids, no teenagers, no students watching this. And so that, of course, limits me in the kind of stories that I can tell, because they need to be able to relate to it. That's, of course, a prerequisite for any type of communication. But I know from experience that there is a whole world out there that I could reach if I could focus on other topics. And what I do, I like what I do, and I would still probably tell some of these stories that I'm currently telling, but I would also explore stuff that I am not able to do right now. So that's my dream, and I want to do it without the stress of having to deliver, especially, you know, with the long COVID symptoms. I finally realized that I am pretty fragile, and there is not much margin left in my life. And it's just not worth it to sacrifice your health to pay the price for, you know, like a stable income. I'd rather live a little bit more on the edge. I've learned from my trip to Santiago that I can be perfectly happy carrying around only 6 kilograms of luggage on my back. And that was one of the best times in my life. And I had nothing. I had no house. I had I had a house back home. But I did not miss my stuff one single minute. And I would gladly trade in everything I currently have in order to kind of feel what I felt during that trip again. And one of the things that I would love to do, so I've been asking myself, sorry, I'm kind of expanding this segment a bit too much, but one of the things I've been wondering is, what would I really love to do if there were no boundaries, if there were... was nothing to constrain me. What would be your greatest desire? And then I get all these crazy ideas. Because, like, I'm used to always calculate what is feasible, what is attainable within the constraints of the current situation. And for a long time, for most of my priesthood, of course, I was supposed to be in the place where I was appointed as a priest for the weekends, and I had to be there. So I was very, well, not limited. I was always able to kind of find my way in that situation. But now, actually, I don't have that constraint anymore, and I could do wild things if I wanted to. But I still have that mindset of being limited by, you know, all sorts of factors, and especially having that responsibility for a parish. So one of the things that comes to mind is I would like to work as a priest in various parts of the world. Why stay in the Netherlands? I never liked this country. I'm born here, okay. And I'm probably more Dutch than I realize. But I always felt more of an international citizen than a Dutchman. Proof is in the pudding. I'm speaking English right now. I'm talking to an international audience. That is where I feel most myself. So I was thinking, well, what if I go and live in a rectory in France for a half a year, and I help the local priest there? I mean, I'm a priest. I can do priestly things. I can do masses and weddings, and I can preach. But at the same time, I could use being in a different part of the world to make documentaries and go do interviews and create content and show, you know, all the facets of the church in that particular location. And then after half a year, I could move to, I don't know, New Zealand, go live there for half a year and go and visit people and tell stories. One of the issues that I struggle with is that I've been making TV shows here for about 11 years. And the Catholic Church in the Netherlands is already very small. It's shrinking. And then the interesting people that know how to tell a story and that is do stuff that is visually interesting, I kind of did everything that there was to do. It's hard to find new topics. At least I struggle with that. For the next 15 episodes, I have to come up with, you know, new ideas. And, well, I have some ideas, but I'm really starting to feel that there is no, you know, it's getting harder and harder to come up with stories. And when I travel, that's never a problem because there's always this sense of discovery, my reactions to a new situation, that always creates a dynamic that is interesting and that is fun to watch, even if you are living in the country that I visit. I mean, when I went to the United States or I visited Boston and I record a podcast about eating chowder for the first time, and, you know, people like that. They want to see my reaction, and I don't know, it's sort of an affirmation of this of the life they live. And I was like, well, why don't I do that? Why can't I dream of, well, why don't I turn that dream of traveling and filming at the same time into a reality? What is keeping me from doing that? And there are many rational reasons to say, well, that, no, Father Roderick, that's, why would you, you know, why risk so much? And that's going to be such a hassle. At the same time, I'm like, I can't do it. And I don't want to wake up one day in 10 years from now and looking back at the past 10 years and thinking, well, I had so many cool ideas and I never did them. I realized that when I was editing, by the way, the China footage. I was like, wow, that's 8 years ago. I could have gone back 4 or 5 times and with what I can do now, quality-wise, filming, I could have done something so much better than what I've done in reality. And I was like, why am I missing out on all these opportunities? For me, it's much easier now to travel, and I know how to film, and I've learned how to travel light, and I can produce great quality with almost no luggage. Why don't I? What's keeping me? That's kind of what's going on in my mind. Now, of course, my first priority is to sort out, priority number one, health. If I don't get my health back, nothing else works. Second priority, I need to get some clarity about the upcoming years. Can I stay here in this rectory or not? Do I have to move? Even if I go travel the world, I will still need a place to stay when I'm in the Netherlands. Also for my insurance, for, you know, I need to have a home in the Netherlands. If I can't, if I have to leave here, where do I go? I don't know. So those two issues are definitely, they need to be off the table. The third issue is I still have that commitment for 15 episodes of TV work. That stops in the last week of April. But that's already approaching very quickly. It means I've got 4 months and then I'm done with TV. And from the looks of it, that's going to be the end of the series anyway. So I don't know what they will come up with in the future. But now would be the right moment to prepare for something new. And if you ask me, I want to travel and I want to tell stories of traveling. That's what I do best. It's much more gratifying and enriching and also more interesting, I think, for an international audience like you than if I would stay here and be in constantly in these two worlds. On Twitter, I have two identities. I've got Father Roderick. That's me. That's the real me. And then I've got Media Priest, or means Media Priest. That's my Dutch identity. And that's that has followers that are watching my TV show. And they feel like these are two Father Rodericks. They're not integrated. And the one Father Roderick cannot really work with the other Father Roderick because they are catering to totally different audiences. I don't want that anymore. I want that to be just me. But now would be the moment to make those radical choices. And I think there's something exciting about it, to be able to try something new and challenge yourself. And nothing stops learning more than just doing what you've done in the past years and just doing it over and over again. I want to do something that challenges me again, that tickles my imagination, makes me meet new people and go to places where I've not been before. So maybe that's the concept. Like going, see if I can live as a priest. For instance, I would love to go back to France. That's still one of my favorite countries. I love the language. I know people there. So I'm pretty sure that if I would ask if I can work for, let's say, a month in the south of France, in the Pyrenees, I'd be welcome. Because I can make myself useful there. And now imagine the kind of shows that I could film there. And then New Zealand, that's another one. I'd so love to live there for a more extended... Last time I was there, I was there for 2.5 weeks, I think. That's not enough. I want to be there for a couple of months and film whatever I can film there. It's such an amazing country, and people are so lovely there. Let's see, other parts of the world. I've never been to the north of Europe. You know, Norway, for instance, that's a country that fascinates me. I'd so really love to travel there. But then, of course, you can't just travel to Norway if you got to be back here on Sunday for Mass. So I'd have to take the international audience with me during those trips. And so last Monday, we had a meeting with the board of Tridio, and we're building up, of course, this community around the International Mass, Mass for Geeks. And more, that starts to attract also people here from the area. So I started to wonder, well, should I maybe talk more Dutch during Mass and cater more to that? It's an older audience. It's not the same audience as the people that are watching that online. And then I felt responsible. I was like, okay, but what if I go and travel, for instance, to Rome? I have to be back for the weekend because there is this Sunday Mass, International Mass. And it's pretty hard to find someone who can replace me and, you know, do that same type of homily. I don't think that I have replacements there. But then I was like, okay, speaking to it about with the board about that, I realized, well, this is not what I should do. Yes, the International Mass is definitely part of what I do. And I know that it is a great help for the people that are unable to go to church and have become part of that online community around that Mass. But they don't mind if the Mass comes from a little chapel high up in the Pyrenees. That only adds to the excitement and to the appeal of that Mass. And the people that are here that want to go to a Mass, they have a lot of other opportunities as well. There are lots of churches where there's Mass on Sunday. Maybe they have to travel a little bit. But so why would I kind of fix myself or tie my hands by trying to create almost a new parish here in this location? And what if I have to move? You know, then it will all be for nothing. Okay, well, that is that's what's going to my mind. All that because of this segment about my health. Let's get that back, and then we'll go travel. 69 in the chat room reminds me that Boston, my trip to Boston, was 5 years ago this month. That is insane. Feels like 2 years ago. Anyway, yeah. Well, right now, I can't travel at all. What I can do is to travel culinarily. Is that a word? By just trying to make the dishes from the countries that I visit. And food always has strong nostalgic value to me. So when I miss Rome, I just make myself a nice pasta or a pizza. When I miss China and that excitement of being there, I just go look up videos of Chinese cooking and I try to do the same. And well, I still have a long way to go, but at least it just kind of connects me with all these different countries and their food. So right now I'm more in a pasta mode. And what I'm also trying to do is I'm trying to empty my fridge. So I've got a lot of stuff in the freezer. Sometimes I get food through the Too Good To Go system where it's basically leftovers in the supermarket. But I don't always have recipes right away for that stuff. So now, for instance, I've got goat cheese, which I never buy myself. I'm not a huge fan of goat cheese, but I don't want to throw it away. So I was like, what can I do with goat cheese? I see it that in restaurants they're pretty limited when it comes to the use of goat cheese. It's usually a salad with goat cheese, and then for some reason always honey dressing, which is ugh. Anyway, so I didn't want to do that. I don't want to put it in the salad. And I'm thinking it's cheese, so it would work, I think, in a warm dish. Well, thankfully, Google gave me the idea to make mushroom pasta with goat cheese. And this is totally my type of dish. So here's how you make it. It's actually pretty simple. You need farfalle pasta. So it's these little, they look like small butterflies or bow ties. You need about 16 ounces. This is for, what is it, 4 people, I think. You need some butter, some oil, then, of course, fresh mushrooms. I always use the darker, the chestnut mushrooms or the cremini mushrooms. Shiitake mushrooms would also work. You can mix that up. It doesn't really matter that much. Then, of course, you need garlic. And shallots. I like to make a mixture of garlic and shallots. Some white wine, but of course you can't really be a serious cook if you don't have a bottle of white wine somewhere in the cupboards, because the cook needs energy, right? Fuel. You need some heavy whipping cream, about half a cup, some salt, chicken broth. I always use these cubes. It's not really worth making my own. Parmesan cheese, of course, pasta, so you need to have that. Some chopped spinach, 2 cups, and then about 6 ounces of goat cheese. Goat cheese, the kind of the white, you know, they come in circles here. You cook the pasta al dente, you drain, set it aside. This is an American recipe, so I'm always a bit like, try to cook the pasta and have it ready the moment you're going to use it, because the longer you put it aside, it is going to still cook because of the heat. So it's going to get all mushy. If you can't immediately use it, even stop even before it gets al dente, because otherwise it will become all mushy and then it's not as good. Then you heat the butter, mix some oil and butter. I would say first put in the chopped garlic. Let that bubble for about 10 seconds. Always prevent it from burning. Then you add the mushrooms in it. You just take another 20 seconds to hustle that around. Add some white wine and give it some stirs. And then you can add the whipping cream and the salt. So what you want, of course, is to reduce the mushrooms so they become a bit smaller and the start to release their flavors. And then the cream, of course, is important to, you know, make the sauce, and also some salt. Again, if you use a lot of cream, if you cook for multiple people, that's usually not a problem. I always have the problem that if I cook just for myself for one meal, everything evaporates too quickly. So I have to be very careful for it not to burn. So I sometimes need to add a bit of pasta water just to keep it fluid. And then you put it together in a large pot. Maybe add some broth if you want to. You know, that's another way to dilute the sauce, is to add a bit of chicken. I just used a powdered chicken broth. Add some hot water to it. Mix it, taste it, of course. I would add some pepper as well. And then you can either stir in the Parmesan cheese in the pot when you put everything together. And then right before you serve it, and this is important, that at the very last moment you put in the uncooked spinach, chop it up roughly, and then you stir it a few times. You really have to wait until the very last moment, because as you know, spinach will reduce tremendously, and you will be left with just a little bit of, you know, dark green, not very appetizing stuff. But if you put it in at the very last moment, it still retains a bit of its freshness. And then the goat cheese, of course, you can either put it on top. I would say I just cut it into smaller pieces and I mix it through the pasta as well. And there you go. And then you sprinkle it with some pepper and some Parmesan cheese and serve it right away. I have not prepared this, but now that I'm describing the recipe, I want to run to the local supermarket and get myself some spinach and eat this tonight, because I am hungry. I'll post a link in the show notes, which you can find on the Patreon page. The Patreon feed, of course, contains the audio files, but it also contains a small post where I can put the show notes and photo and some links. So that's where you can find it. Some of you are getting this podcast through another feed because they're not patrons. They're contributing directly via the bank. So we're working on a system for them to be able to log in to the site and see the show notes that are posted on Father Roderick as well, but they are invisible for the general audience because, of course, this is patron only. All right. Hello. Welcome back. I'm so used to listening to American podcasts where they have these advertisements. And then they always say, welcome back. And now I play this jingle and it automatically my mind says, you have to say welcome back, because that's what real podcasters do. What did I learn this week? This is one of my favorite segments where I get to share things that I've discovered either on TikTok or on YouTube. Those are my main sources of knowledge and experience these days. So I watched another video, of the guy that I was talking about in the last episode, and in case you haven't listened to that previous episode, this is a YouTuber called Ali Abdal. He lives in the UK, and he's a great kind of lifestyle YouTuber. Very interesting. I'm always very inspired by watching his stuff, and I was like, oh, maybe I can do something like that on my YouTube channel. So he posted a video about setting goals, and that was actually quite eye-opening. He said, I stopped setting goals for the new year a couple of years ago because I noticed that goal setting makes me depressed. Because it's by setting goals, it's almost as if I am telling myself, your life is only going to be good if you've realized these goals. And as long as I have not met those goals, well, something is missing. So instead, after reading a book called Atomic Habits, which I've started to read also or listen to on my phone, he decided to, instead of focusing on the goals, to focus on the systems. So if you want to reach something in your life, that ultimate goal is only the direction. What is the you have to find the fun and the energy and the satisfaction in the system of making that happen, in working your way towards that goal. It's about the journey, not about the finish line. Just like when I run, it's about the running. I don't care how fast I run or how many miles. I enjoy. And so, yes, I do set myself goals. If I want to run a marathon, I know that I have to run 42 kilometers and 195 meters, give or take a meter. But that's not important when I'm running. When I'm running, I just know that I'm training and I love being outside. Well, his approach to goal setting is, consider goals as your kind of your dot on the horizon, so you know this is what I'm working towards. But focus, put your real energy in changing your habits and modifying the system so that it works for you, and that every step of the way becomes progress towards that goal. And in Atomic Habits, in the book, one of the key ideas of it is, if you set big goals, if you want to really change your life, that often is too big for us. And we start enthusiastically in the month of January, and then we kind of, you know, we give up because it seems to be too far away. We've all been there. But the idea of Atomic Habits is, what if you make very small steps towards that goal? So always make it super easy for you and very satisfying to do what you do. Realize that every step in the right direction is going to increase the yield the next day, because it's not only what you do that next day, but that is an incremental improvement over, you know, based on what you've already done. So if I apply it to running, the fact that I ran 10K today, I know that next week I'll be able to build on that stamina and on my muscles having repaired themselves and me getting stronger again, my heart rate going down, hopefully. So I'll be able to run maybe 14K. And from 14 to 18, I can do that in 2 or 3 weeks. That's always been my experience, that the speed of improvement increases over time. So even if you feel that, well, I'm just doing this little bit of, and I even botched it, it wasn't really very, very good, it's all progress. So don't discard it because it's not big enough what you do. It's like you want to become an athlete and train your upper body, get more muscular, stronger in your arms. One of the ways to do that is push-ups, right? I hate push-ups, and I've tried it so many times before, and always, even when I'm doing like the first day after 2 or 3 push-ups, I'm like, why am I doing this? I hate this. This hurts, and I don't enjoy this. And then I give up. But he's like, well, I don't care how you do it, as long as you make an effort mentally in the morning to say, I'm just going to try to do some push-ups. Even if you only do one, that one push-up is going to be the foundation for maybe the 100 push-ups you will do a couple of months later. But if you don't do that first push-up, you'll never get to the 100. The same is true for cooking, for anything you want to improve, for learning a language. Of course, you start with stumbling and with messing things up and making mistakes. Podcasting. If you listen to my earliest podcast, it's so, but it was a try, and I was probably too unaware of what I was doing to even feel bothered about it. I just enjoyed trying to do a podcast. And it's now, years and years later, that I still harvest from the effort that I put in at the beginning. Same is true for documentary making. If I had not, when was it, 3 years ago, decided, hey, what I can, these guys that I hire to make these shows, I can do that myself. I could probably do it better. And of course, that was based on nothing, because I had no experience, but I just felt like, well, if he can do it, I can do it. And over time, I've always had that mentality, like, if I see someone do something that I don't know how to do it, I'm just going to give it a try, because I know that that person too has put in the work to learn it. So can I. I'm not that stupid, right? It's not rocket science. and even rocket science. You learn that by kind of building it up, right? So, but also allow yourself to fail from time to time, or to be, you know, don't always go for the 10 for the A. Just go for the C and be happy with that. And then over time, you'll get a B minus, and then ultimately maybe you'll end up with an A plus. But if you never start with a C, then you won't get to the, you know, the higher quality. One area for me where I feel this is super important that I make some progress this year is using YouTube. And maybe also this is also what's withholding me from doing more on TikTok. It's this this exaggerated sense of perfectionism. Like, I feel like it's not good enough. I always feel like if I react to Star Wars, I need to do my research and I need to know everything. And then, but I also know very well that the more I prepare, usually the worse it gets. It's like my homilies. Though if I write them down, if I spend too much time preparing the homily, it's going to be stilted and dead, and it's not working. And it's crazy because intellectually, it's probably much better than what I normally do. Is I get an idea in the morning and I'm thinking, okay, well, I'll just talk about that and I'll speak from the heart. And then usually, yeah, that results in a long homily, usually, because it takes time for me to formulate my thoughts. But at the same time, I think it works. Whereas if I prepare everything and I start to read from a piece of paper, it's just not me anymore. And the same is true for YouTube. The fact that I'm constantly so self-aware and I feel like, oh, I can't post this reaction video because it doesn't have a nice insert. And when I was reacting to the season's finale of The Mandalorian, I didn't even film that. I didn't even plan on doing that. And then you had Hank sitting next to me with his crappy iPhone 5 or whatever filming that. And it's way too dark. And he's moving the camera from the screen to me. And I'm like sitting there super self-aware, like, oh, shoot, he's filming me. And is this good enough? And then 65,000 views later, apparently it was good enough. So if that is good enough, why don't I do that more? And I'm sure that the more I would talk on YouTube and the more I would just be myself, I think the better it would work. Now, I'm also doing these podcasts on YouTube, the Lego sessions, etc. But that's kind of a free flow kind of stuff. That doesn't really work that well for my target audience. So I'm still thinking about, so what would be the best approach? You know, there's another thing that's hampering me is I've got too many ideas, so I'm not focused enough. So what I learned from Ali Abdaal is don't set too many goals. Do focus on one thing and be good at that, and then you can move on. So I feel that what's hampering me a lot is the inability to pick a target, to pick a niche, and to stay with that. And it's also because I'm always, it's the fear of missing out. But what if I just do Star Wars, which obviously works really well for the people that are following me on YouTube? What if I do that? It means I can't talk about, you know, WandaVision anymore, which, by the way, is awesome. But anyway, so, and it's the fear of not being able to be myself that is withholding me from doing anything at all on YouTube. It's the wrong approach. I should just do what I do, but do it often and improve over time and use the input from my viewers to figure out what works for them, because it's ultimately, that's the only thing that matters, is that it helps them. And I've got the feeling that so far people are following me on YouTube because they like my enthusiasm and like the fact that I usually I'm not cynical or, you know, I don't howl with the wolves like so many other YouTubers are doing just to get, you know, bigger view counts. I'm always positive, or try to be positive. And that apparently is something that is rare, or at least there's not much of that compared to all the negative stuff. Well, if that's why people are reacting to my videos, I should do more of that. And that's totally me, right? Then I have to step out of that idea that it has to be perfect and well filmed and well lit. And who cares? As long as the content is me, I think it will work. Well, that sounds a bit pretentious. As long as I give them what I have to bring to the table instead of trying to emulate other people. Anyway, so goal setting, it's all about the system. And then the system, of course, is small steps and improve over time. And I think that applies to a lot of things. It's not more complicated than that. So, and I like that intuitive way of approaching progress. It's not that you're just winging it and do whatever comes to mind. No. Saying yes to a certain direction means you say no to all the other opportunities and possibilities. And the more you get better at something, the more joy it gives. Yes, if I go out for a run, I can't go out for a walk. So, but I want to be good at running, and that's where I have enjoyments. Well, it also means that I will never play soccer. But who cares? I never liked soccer anyway.
I'm quite keen on comic books, especially the ones about superheroes. I find the whole mythology surrounding superheroes fascinating.
You ever try these comics?
No.
You know something?
No, what?
You read too many comic books.
Okay, I'm just going to use this jingle to give myself a pretense to talk about WandaVision, which aired for the first time on Friday. So that's yesterday. I'm recording this on a Saturday. And WandaVision is the first Marvel MCU series since we got Disney Plus. Of course, there's S.H.I.E.L.D., but that was that started way before Disney started to develop their online ideas. Now, WandaVision is about Scarlet Witch and the other guy. I always forget what his name is. Not Infinity. What's his name? Okay, Google to the rescue. And it's WandaVision, IMDb. There you go. Long live IMDb. Vision. Okay, Vision. Vision is played by Paul Bettany, and of course Wanda Maximoff is played by Elizabeth Olsen. They both have superpowers. We saw them in the Avengers, but they even had a romance. But they always feel like minor characters. The presence of like Tony Stark and the Hulk, Thor. These were the Black Panther. They got spotlights, and then, you know, Wanda and Vision, they were a little bit more in the background. So I was super excited that they got their own show. And the trailer was very intriguing because it was a sitcom from the 50s. And that's how it starts. It's like this black and white television show, including with the music and the graphics and everything is so well done. And it at first, like the first episode, you're like, what am I watching here? I mean, they obviously also have superpowers within the confines of this sitcom, but nobody can know. So they're trying to blend in. And at the same time, you're wondering, why are they there? Why is their world now a 50s sitcom? And then in the second episode, you start to see that, there's something else going on. This may not be entirely voluntary, this reality that they currently live in. Or maybe they're trying to escape something, a menace or something like that. Maybe this is a refuge. So I'm super intrigued, and I loved how they did it. It is so much fun. And I kind of have a bit of nostalgia for I wasn't even born back then. But that type of television feels like I Love Lucy, you know, series like that. It was uncomplicated fun, and it seems to come from a world that was much simpler than the complicated, polarized world that we currently live in. So I think that this the concept of this series appealed to me because I kind of secretly also often wonder, well, can't we go back to the time that the world was less complicated and people were just kind and television was funny and made you laugh and not laugh at people, but laugh with people? And then, of course, you know, I'm pretty sure that the 50s weren't as romantic as we kind of idealize it right now. But I love that idea. The execution is wonderful, but you still wonder what is going on. And I've got the feeling that this is just a setup, and that soon we will see these two Avengers in their more natural habitat when they escape from this fake world that they're currently in. But it was so different from anything else that they've ever done with Marvel that I really am excited about the end result. I loved it. I'm hooked. And I like the fact that it was disconcerting and kind of like, what? I love it when TV shows kind of go beyond the boundaries of our imagination and try to do something new. Okay, that was my comic book section. It's time for a quick visit to the world of liturgy. And Pope Francis has published some new regulations for the celebration of Ash Wednesday, which, of course, is the beginning of Lent, starts in February. February the 17th on a Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. And normally, of course, you would get signed with a cross with ash during that celebration. But COVID-19, so that's dangerous. Most people won't be able to go to church. And even if you are allowed to go to church, you don't want a priest to touch your forehead close to your eyes with his finger or thumb and then all the other people before and after you. That would, of course, create many risks of contamination. So instead, Pope Francis has said that now, after blessing the ashes and sprinkling them with holy water in silence, the priest addresses those present. And then instead of saying that to every person that comes forward, only says once the formula found in the Roman Missal, which is either repent and believe in the gospel or remember that you are dust and to dust you shall return. So it's not repeated every time. It's just said once. And then the priest will clean his hands, put on a face mask, and distributes ashes to those who come to him or goes to those who are standing in their places and sprinkles the ashes on each person's head without saying anything. So that's kind of similar to the way we distribute communion here. We don't speak. We don't say the body of Christ. We show the host in silence. And because, of course, if I speak, I also breathe. So if I have COVID, which at one point I had during Mass, I would have infected other people. So I don't speak. And the same is true here for the imposition of the ashes. And you sprinkle them on the head. Some people were angry about that. People are always angry about stuff. If it's coming from Pope Francis, they're like, oh, it's a heretic. Again, Pope Francis with his stuff. They don't even call him Pope Francis. They call him Bergoglio. So it's kind of like a state of vacantism, as if he's not the real Pope. There are very loud people of that of that group. It's really frustrating. Anyway, so it's this. They were like, oh, well, the church has never done this. What about traditions? Well, actually, this is part of the tradition. It is in the Bible everywhere. Imposition, sprinkling ashes on their heads. How often do you see that? There is nowhere in the Bible a moment where Jesus is taking some ashes and then makes a cross on the forehead of people. Come on. It's super biblical. And this has also been one of the alternatives that has always been there in a Roman Missal. But not that these critics of Pope Francis have ever, you know, studied liturgy. They get their knowledge from following all these crazy, you know, the Catholic QAnon And there are some very, very dangerous groups that are spewing their hatred of Pope Francis and the Vatican, and they always know better. And there's no love in what they say. It's always this frustration, hate, and anger, because that generates views, and views generate money. That's my personal opinion about these groups of people. But it's going very far. The other day, Mountain Batorak went online live to debunk apparently a story that was doing the rounds in the United States about Pope Francis being arrested by the Secret Service of Trump. I'm like, what in the world? What? How arrogant can you be that you think that Donald Trump has anything to say about Europe or about the Vatican and can just send in some, you know, Secret Service people to arrest a pope and then bring him to trial? What the what? In what kind of world do you live? I mean, this is worse than WandaVision. Like, it's an alternate reality, but it's just apparently Mountain got like hundreds of thousands of reactions, even people threatening him for saying that it wasn't true. Because apparently he was, you know, like covering up. What I was like, but why? In what reality do some people live in the United States? They've been brainwashed. This is the type of stuff that you expect from sectarian movements. But this is, and look at what's happening around, you know, the president and the president-elect right now, and what happened last week in the Capitol. The misinformation, the amount of manipulation, the crazy power that some media have over their followers, this constant brainwashing, lying, and distorting the truth. And oftentimes you see that's the same kind of the same people that believe in all the QAnon stuff are, you know, very susceptible to all the misinformation about Pope Francis. And even friends of mine in the United States, when I talk to them about Pope Francis, they're like, oh, but Pope Francis this and Pope Francis that. And I was like, that's not correct. You're misinformed. No, but I read it here and I heard it there. And it's like, you live in the United States. I know Rome. I know this Pope. I've been under the balcony when he was elected. I follow the Vatican News every day, and it's so completely distorted. And I'm sorry to say, but even big Catholic organizations are part of this misinformation campaign. And I won't give you my full thoughts because I don't want to scare you. But it's a bit of a mess over there in the U.S. Really, I'm always like, okay. Don't believe everything you hear, but look for the facts. Go to reputable sources of information. Go to multiple sources of information. If something sounds too crazy to be true, it probably is. Oh, well. I guess people like to believe in the fairy tales that they're being told sometimes. Oh, well. Enough. I'll get off my soapbox here. I briefly want to mention that there was the announcement that from now and henceforth, the Star Wars games will be published by a brand called Lucasfilm Games, which, of course, for old gamers like me, evokes all the wonderful adventure games that Lucasfilm used to author. And hopefully the fact that they are no longer working with just one company like they did with Electronic Arts for many years, but now are working with multiple gaming companies, is going to improve the quality of these Star Wars games. I was super excited to hear that Ubisoft is going to work on an open-world Star Wars game, which is still in early development, so it will take a while before we see the results of that work, but I'm super excited. That's what I want. Give me another open-world game, preferably also even like an online game that I can, you know, team up with people while playing that. And if it's set in the Star Wars world, oh, yes, make it so. Oh, sorry, wrong reference. brief segment, just brief mention that I've restarted my Lego channel. So if you like me to watch me build Lego castles and stuff, make sure you look me up on YouTube. It's also in the show notes. It's Father Roderick Builds, but I probably give it another name, the channel. But anyway, Father Roderick Builds. I think if you go to my main YouTube page, there's also a link to that channel. And I try to do at least 2 live sessions every week. It's a lot of fun. Almost no visitors, but I'm doing this for fun. That's it. That's it. I'm going to wrap things up. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for your support. This is going to be a great year, I'm sure. And it's already great because you are there and together we can do great things. All right, I have to open the door because Inge is there. She's been on watching the church because we open the church every Saturday so people can still watch the nativity scene. So she must be very cold. It's probably going to come over for a cup of coffee. All right, see you guys next week. Take care and God bless.